Welcome to the B2B Influence Spotlight on Industry Game Changers podcast. I'm Paula Keoki, founder and CEO of Outward Media. Outward Media is a trusted data partner to Fortune 2000 businesses and startups alike. We provide the highest quality audience data to fuel engaged, integrated, omnichannel campaigns. Our mission is to deliver real data, real results, and invaluable reach to real people. Welcome, everyone. I'm Paula Keoki, CEO of Outward Media. This is the B2B Influence podcast. Today, we have Aaron Stroud, and he has a podcast called Reaching Higher Podcast. Mm-hmm. And he has a specialty in the healthcare industry vertical, which is not something we've spoken about before. So I think this will be an interesting topic, and welcome, Aaron.
Well, thank you, Paula. I'm grateful to be here.
Yeah, I'm grateful to have you. So let's just jump in here. So Aaron, healthcare marketers often walk a fine line between personalization and privacy. That's a big deal in healthcare. We all know that. How are top brands using data responsibly to build deeper audience connections without crossing ethical or compliance lines? Not an easy feat.
It's not an easy feat. And I like the question because I think one of the things that's interesting, I've had the benefit of working in a couple of regulated industries, and I know we'll talk a little more about that in a few minutes. But one of the things that happens when you do work in a regulated industry is you move slower, and that can be frustrating, especially for me who's grown up in the world of digital, social, mobile. But it does make you think through your options very thoroughly. And what I will tell you is the healthcare industry has done a really good job looking at data privacy, looking at making sure individuals stay safe and secure. You know, it sort of stems from the original premise of HIPAA, which is the Hippocratic Oath that doctors take to have their patients' best interests at hand. And so a lot of the pharma companies and biotech and healthcare companies, knowing that, you know, they have to work very closely with doctors and physicians, you know, nurses, et cetera, they take it very seriously. And so just to add one more layer to the answer, there are companies, and one of which I am the former chief marketing officer of a company called Real Chemistry. We're a healthcare advertising marketing agency. And for a while, there was a company under our umbrella called Swoop. Okay. And companies like Swoop do a lot of very specific targeting at people with either rare or common diseases and can get very specific about, you know, what they're doing with those patients. But they have very, very high standards in terms of how the data is kept, anonymization and tokenization of that data, so that I might know that you have diabetes. I'm not saying you do, but you might have diabetes or you might have the conditions there, but I don't know what your name is, but I can message you divorced of knowing who you are. So that's sort of at the highest level. And one more layer to it is because of the fact that a lot of websites and a lot of email now have taken additional layers of privacy and removing cookies or anonymizing cookies and things like that. It's made marketers in all industries, but particularly healthcare, have to work harder to be able to reach their target audiences.
Yeah. And that's a mouthful, right?
So that is a mouthful. Yes.
I mean, cause the laws are very strict. I understand that. So thank you for that. So,
yes.
So having worked across multiple industries, how does marketing in the healthcare space differ from more traditional verticals like retail or tech?
So it's interesting, and I actually just answered this question on a podcast I did a few weeks ago. I hated healthcare marketing when I first got into it, truth be told. And actually, just a quick piece about my journey. So I started life, small direct marketing agency. I worked at Fidelity Investments for 9 years. So I had financial services.
I know them.
And that, yeah, a lot of people do. And then did two different startups that were definitely much more focused on retail and technology. And when I joined one of the predecessors to Real Chemistry, it was called WCG. My main goal that they hired me for was to do non-healthcare work, particularly in health, in technology and cybersecurity and things like that, and really to focus on things like social media and analytics and digital marketing. And so when I joined, I didn't actually do any healthcare marketing. And then over time, we took private equity. The private equity company said, you know, we love that you work with companies like Intel and HP, but you're really good at healthcare. So why don't we just double down on that? And so that required me to get more focused. And so I did a lot of studying and had worked with a lot of colleagues that knew a lot about it. So To get to your specific question, I think that what's cool about healthcare is one, you know that you're doing societal good, right? You're helping people that need life-saving treatments or things that, help them live better lives. Two, you are doing things in a very sort of tight space, meaning, we talked about the regulations. So it's not just with the data, it's about the things you can say and all the disclaimers that you need. So what I disliked about it at first was, wow, this feels heavy. And, wouldn't it be fun just to do a Skittles ad? Actually, when we were entering submissions for awards, I would judge some of these and I think to myself, healthcare is never going to win against some of these other more, Carnival Cruise Lines, et cetera. But it does teach you to really think outside the box. And some of the colleagues that I worked with, particularly in the creative side, were brilliant because you could see them creating these amazing campaigns with much stricter standards, much tighter guardrails. And it made me appreciate the fact that, not to say it's easy to do marketing or advertising in any industry, but I had an appreciation for these people that were doing this because of the fact that they had to be creative and to do it with so many controls on top of them.
Well, yeah, and to me, that would be really hard.
It is hard. It takes a lot of practice, a lot of understanding of the systems, and so I think there's an underappreciation for just how difficult it is. What and it's why there are just not that many of them. It's growing, and I think more people are realizing that healthcare is a good space to be in, especially as we go through some turbulent times with the economy. But yeah, it is definitely one of the hardest out of any of the industries.
Yeah, I would say a turbulent time in the economy and also the aging population, right?
We do have an aging population for sure, yes.
Do healthcare brands face, sorry, outcomes in healthcare marketing aren't always measured in clicks. They can be tied to behavior change, retention, or care access, as I'm sure you're well aware. How do you define success in campaigns aimed at patients or providers? And how is that evolving with new tech and data tools that are coming on?
Yeah, I'd say it's sort of an age-old problem in any industry. And again, it's funny. I was talking with someone the other day. She works for a library system, and we were talking about the measurement and the trickiness. And I remember early days of Fidelity, because everything we were doing was digital when I joined, or I was there to sort of help them with their digital efforts. One of the hardships we had was our goal was to get new clients to open accounts and then to put money into those accounts. And so we were doing a lot of things like banner ads and emails. And as you can imagine, it was a little bit unrealistic to think that someone was going to see a banner ad on the, New York Times and say, "Ooh, I want to put my money in Fidelity, click on it and open the account." Usually that might have been one of a dozen things that they were doing. And so understanding what the role of that particular tactic was critically important. I would say by the time I left 9 years later, they had finally started to figure out a way to include a multitude of your marketing activities and customer service activities that helped get people over the hump. So fast forward to healthcare and to answer your specific question, there are a lot of different things beyond the click that you do measure. Now, one of them that we had figured out, which was actually very helpful, was something called script lift. And what that means is if you are a pharma, a biotech company, that you want to know that if you put a new treatment for like sleep apnea out there or for hypertension, that doctors were writing prescriptions for that particular therapy at a higher rate than they were before you rolled your marketing campaign out there. So that is still probably more like the click than it's not. I think the other thing that you are looking at is, longitudinally, if you have a new chemo treatment for cancer or something like that, or it's even harder to measure mental health, right? Like if someone suffers from anxiety or depression. So you really have to do a lot of qualitative research. And one of the things that Real Chemistry, and I think any other good agency worth their salt, which translates into working with their marketing partners at these healthcare companies, is really being good at one, knowing how to do research and ask the right questions. And then two, one of the things we pioneered was looking at social media and saying, can we, from the conversations, derive a change in attitude or a change in usage or a greater education? And that is one of the things that a lot of these companies in healthcare do is because of the regulations, they'll do something called an unbranded campaign. Right. So if you did have something like sleep apnea, instead of coming and saying, hey, company X is great at, they have this device that can help you with your sleep apnea, you can come in and talk about what is sleep apnea, what are some of the different treatments that you can do, who should you go to see if you are, needing help with that. And so those, I think, are some of the things that can help you really get a better sense of, are you succeeding? Are you moving the needle? And in our particular role, a lot of times we were working with the healthcare companies to get to the physicians and to get to the nurses and the other primary care folks. And so that was also tricky because that's really a B2B to C move. And that's not to say there aren't other companies and other industries that have to do that, but it definitely requires a little bit different threading of the needle.
For sure. For sure. So when you talk about using the social media for that, how did you work within the social media confines? I mean, were you like in groups monitoring? How did that come about?
Yeah, I would say it evolved over time. Early days, Twitter, which is now X, was one of the primary places where you could actually see. And back then, there were a lot more conversations that happened there, and without getting into any politics. But they also had a very robust API or, an ability to connect tools to their back end so that you could actually see or digest large volumes of tools, or data rather, and then you could process them using different algorithms and techniques, et cetera. I would say over time it shifted. Certainly Facebook has become a big place, LinkedIn, Instagram now, TikTok. There is actually a lot of work that goes on in TikTok, and there are things called Health Talk, TOK, where a lot of doctors are on there and they're sort of, providing advice and recommendations. But I would say one of the things that's tricky is also as these platforms evolved and people shifted usage, and you mentioned the aging, a lot of the younger population are using things like Snapchat and TikTok and Instagram, that some of these platforms also got stricter about what you could talk about, the types of pictures that you could share, et cetera. So one of the shifts that happened, I'd say over the last 5 to 7 years is a lot of these conversations now are moving to a platform called Reddit. And what's good about that is that Reddit does have a fairly tightly, community-led effort to make sure that the conversations stay on track. They do actually have to keep an eye out for adverse reporting and things like that. If someone's got a disease and taking medication and they report it there, then the company is on the hook to do something about it. But they are some fairly robust conversations. And so you can go in and sort of digest that information and then, see where things are going. And or they do also allow for some of these healthcare companies to advertise in there. So that doesn't help with the measurement piece, but it does allow you a place to go and have some of the important conversations that you need to have with the patients that you are targeting.
When you say that puts them on the hook a little bit, how is that?
Well, back to our fun conversation about regulations, that there are rules, that are part of how we live our lives, and that is that if a patient goes anywhere public and reports that, let's say, they were taking a medicine for hypertension and they talk about it, that that company needs to be aware of it and they need to report it to the FDA. And so it's part of why healthcare companies took a long time to get into digital and then get into social, is you can imagine having to look for that proverbial needle in a haystack. And so they were always concerned. A lot of times, if they had a Facebook page, they would turn the comments off, or, if they had any kind of a presence, they would keep it very restrictive because of the fact that they knew that if someone was reporting this and they weren't proactively monitoring it, then they would get in trouble for having someone putting those adverse effects remarks out into the public and them not taking action on it. So it did make it, completely tricky, but there are a lot of tools, and now with AI and things like
Monitor.
that, you could do a lot more on the monitoring front.
Wow, I had no idea they had to report at that level. That makes it
It's complicated. Yes, there are a lot of
complicated.
things that I never knew going in, and then I was like, oh, okay, this is why it doesn't move as quickly as some of the other industries.
That's a big onus on the platform.
Yes, it is.
So, customer experience is one of your specialties. When a brand is trying to shift from transactional message for relationship-based communication, what are the first steps you recommend to embed that mindset across the organization?
Well, I really like this question because I think it
Mm-hmm.
gets to the essence of, there are sort of two different camps in terms of marketing. There's that very demand gen or account-based marketing, and then there's more of the brand building thought leadership. And I'm a believer that both can and should work together. But I think to your specific ask, I've always been a big fan of advocacy and thought leadership. And I think those are two things where I mentioned the unbranded campaigns. If you really want to help shift perceptions, being behind those types of things or partnering with a public advocacy firm, and or a nonprofit like the American Cancer Society, or I'm on the board of one called Tiger Lily Foundation, and really saying, how can we support these advocacy groups? How can we make sure that the people that we care about are getting the care that they need, not from their doctors per se, but like societally? How do
Right.
they get to their appointments? How do they have the right education about this? How do they make sure that, post-cancer care, that they have the mental health support that they need, because that's a huge transformation. So I could probably go on for hours, but I would say that's at the simplest level. It's really doing a great job at shifting into the advocacy partnership space and being known for your advocacy, and then the thought leadership, which sort of bleeds into education, like medical education, making sure that the doctors, nurses, and patients are all aware of all of the things that are going around in your particular disease state or the area that you're sort of helping with, and letting them know that you're being a good public servant by providing that type of information and education.
And the doctors, they're embracing this.
I think, I was surprised that a lot of doctors actually get a lot of their education from the healthcare or life science companies. Some do a better job than others, but it's one of the ways that they can sort of stay up and stay current on what's going on. So I would say that companies that do a good job at that medical education, they are the ones that a lot of the doctors tend to trust. And so as a result, the doctors are more inclined to write prescriptions for those particular drugs or therapies because of the fact that it's a two-way street, as you can imagine. And if the company's doing their job and being helpful and truthful and transparent and keeping them sort of apprised of what's going on, then obviously the drug has to be effective, it has to be safe, it has to be affordable. But all those things, assumed, then a doctor is going to be more inclined to work with someone that's making their life easier versus harder.
Well, it sounds like more of a partnership versus a vendor,
I think
doctor relationship.
any relationship works best when you can be in partnership, right? I remember with clients, because I led client engagements for a long time before I became the chief marketing officer, and I always, one, was careful about my words, but always a little bit bristled when people would call us their vendor, because it's like, look, vendor is a very transactional relationship, whereas partner means that we're in this together. And yes, you pay us money, but we do a service, and we'll do it best if we are working in partnership versus, us being the on the other end of, like, you have to do this and get this done, and it needs to be done by this time. No one really wants to work under those conditions.
No, and I think it's in recent years, at least I feel like even with the people that we do business with, that's what they're looking for is a partner, somebody who's thinking, advocating for them, not just trying to sell them something.
No, it works out best for both sides, right? I mean, it creates more dialogue between you. You have more of a shared interest in success. And I think it is something. And if I would say, there's a couple of things that are life lessons, but that's one. If you are a client, think about your, what you might call vendors as partners. And if you don't feel like they're a partner, maybe you should be looking for a different one.
Counselor.
And for, people on the other side, like you said, if you're working with a client, if it doesn't feel like it's in true partnership, then maybe they're not a good client, and maybe you don't want them around.
Yeah, cuts both ways.
It does.
So, if you were advising a healthcare brand starting from scratch on a new audience initiative, maybe launching a product or entering a new care space, what would be your must-haves to ensure long-term impact and adaptability to future trends?
There are a lot of answers to that. I think the
You're
first is really
a wealth of
understanding.
information.
Oh, I think part of it is understanding the landscape, right? So if you're going into a therapeutic area, it's really understanding, one, who are your patients, right? So what is the, are they, older black men? Are they, younger women? Are they whatever? Where do they live? What languages do they speak? What is their sort of, are they, do they live sort of below the traditional, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, economically, like the economic components of it. And then it's understanding the landscape from a competitive perspective. Like, are you one of, 10? Are you one of three? Are you an oral versus something that's injected? Is it something that you have to do where you have to go into the doctor's office like every 2 weeks? And those are all important components because depending on, how and what and who that you're going after, you might take different tactics to get there, right? And then I think it's really looking at if you are a brand looking for a good partner. We were just talking about partners. So is there an agency or some sort of a consultancy that specializes in that particular disease state or has experience, launching, commercializing a drug and making sure that they're sort of aware of everything? And then, the last I would say is, are you taking advantage of some of the newest trends? Like, are you engaging with influencers? Are you involved in social media? Are you, excuse me, are you using artificial intelligence like generative AI in a way that's helpful in building your brand? And so there are a lot of different components that go into it. But I think, those are things that happen with pretty much any brand that you would look at across any industry. But as we just discussed earlier, there are some tricky things that you have to think about as you're going into this. So those would be some of the areas that I would start.
A lot to think about within healthcare industry marketing. So you've
It
got
is.
extensive background. How long have you been involved in it?
I've been a marketer for 30 plus years. And then from a healthcare perspective, I started at Real Chemistry back in 2011. I departed last September, although I did some consulting for them. And now I'm doing a little bit of marketing, strategy and consulting, not just for healthcare, but for other brands. But so I'd say all said and done, 15-ish years, on top of the other 15 years of just doing broader marketing.
And you've seen a lot of change in 15 years.
Seen a lot of change in 15 years for sure. Yep. Mostly good, although some steps backward over the last 8 to 12 months, but again, we won't go there today.
Well, and I think we're just at the tip with the, you mentioned the generative AI. I think we're just at the tip, the spearhead right now as to where this is going. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out within the healthcare industry. So, if somebody wants to have a chat with you, with given all your experience, how's the best way to get a hold of you, Aaron?
There are lots of ways that you can get in touch with me. It depends on what you're interested in. So, like from the podcast perspective, I do one. You could just Google it because the podcast is on all the major platforms. But you could also go to re
Is
sorry.
there a specialty in the podcast, or what do you focus on?
Yeah, well, I appreciate you asking that. So, I've been doing podcasting for 20 plus years, and the most recent one I had done was more focused on sort of innovation and leadership in the healthcare space. This one is broader, essentially. Influential people that are doing societal good.
Oh,
So we've
wow.
had people like Al Roker from the Today Show.
Oh, I love
We've had Senator Mallory McMorrow, who's running for U.S. Senate in Michigan. We had Jerry Zucker, who directed the movies Ghost and Airplane and Ruthless People. So it's been a fun job, but I'm trying to bring joy into people's lives and show them a way forward, and that these people that they've looked up to or smart people are out there doing really good things that we might not always know about. So
that's
that's reachinghigherpod.com, or you can just Google the Reaching Higher podcast. And then in terms of me, I'm on all the social channels. Probably the easiest way to get me is either on LinkedIn, or you can get me on X or Instagram. I do put out content. I'm less likely to engage or follow people that I don't know there. But usually either on X or LinkedIn, if it looks like there's some sort of a compatibility. And I would say people don't do this enough. Like, if you want to connect with me, give me a little context as to why you want to connect. And sometimes I can tell just based on who you are and your title, but sometimes that's not always apparent. So
That
I
helps,
do
right?
try to connect with people, but yes, the context helps for sure.
For sure. And so it's Aaron, and the last name is Strout, Strout. And
That's right.
he has the Reaching Higher podcast. Thank you so much for your time today, Aaron. I learned a lot about healthcare marketing.
Well, it's my pleasure, and thank you for having me on the show.
Hi, I'm Paula Keoki, and thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, share it on social media, and don't forget to rate or review the podcast wherever you listen. Your feedback helps us grow and inspire others. If you're a successful business leader or marketing professional with insights to share, we'd love to feature you as a guest. Visit outwardmedia.com/podcast to learn more. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode, and connect with us on social media to join the conversation. Visit outwardmedia.com to explore how we can help take your strategic audience building to the next level. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.